Hey, Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z, and we're back, and now the NFL is only 30 days away. Actually, I think it's less than that now. Wow. Insane. The NFL is right around the corner. Doesn't even feel like it. On this episode, we are going to be talking training camp battles, and we'll touch on some other topics that are topical, but mainly we're focusing on training camp battles as the training camp ramps up, and we'll try to entertain you as much as possible. There's still not a lot of news about the training camps. We've heard people cut, things of that nature, but not a lot else going on. But the Blue Kool-Aid crew is here to help you, and we're going to guide you into the Lions Super Bowl season. So thank you for listening to the podcast, and now sit back, relax. It's time for the pod. This is Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, a Detroit Lions podcast made by lifelong Lions fans, UJ.
I've been really drinking a lot of Kool-Aid tonight. Special brand of Kool-Aid called Weller.
Bob.
It's hard to find any losses here. Stafford, regular season MVP.
Rud Dog.
We're going to just be that team that just can flow like water and adapt to any team. The new dynasty is born.
And Connor.
Gotta be Stafford. Now with the two tight end sets that I'm so excited about, I see it all clicking.
And I'm your host, Big Z. The media knows nothing. Forward down the field. One pride. Get your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back. It's August 12th. We're recording this at 6 p.m. Central Time, and we're about to get into Detroit Lions football. And the season's wrapping up, folks. It is ramping up. We are less than 30 days away from the start of the NFL season, which is hard to believe, especially because before I get into that, joining us as always is Connor.
What up?
We got Rud Dog.
Yo!
And then we got UJ.
Hey.
So we got most of the Blue Kool-Aid crew here. And what I wanted to mention, guys, is that it's weird that football is so close to being around the corner, because we don't really see – like, I'm used to, like, high school football starting around here first. And then, kicking up that football season, like, that sense of it. And then the NFL comes along. But there's, like, it's just not it's a weird feeling.
There's going to be no warm-up, just a cold start pretty much. Like, no early temptations. It's going to, like, football's just suddenly going to be here.
Yeah, exactly. And a big – obviously, the main reason that is coronavirus. And what I wanted to start off here was talking about all the Lions that were on the COVID list and then got off of it. Most notably, the topic of our last episode, Matt Stafford, our one and only. He tested positive and then ended up being a false positive.
Yep.
Did you guys think Stafford was going to be gone for a few weeks there?
Never had a doubt.
Just a bizarre situation, the fact that he had a false positive. Now the NFL changed their rules completely, where if a player tests positive, they have the opportunity to take two tests within 24 hours, and if they both come back negative, then you are allowed to return back to the field.
Well, that seems to make more sense instead of waiting two whole weeks in a quarantine, you know. I mean,
just hope you don't get your false positive on a Saturday.
Well, is
that? Exactly.
Oh, yeah, right.
Like, I wondered, are they going to, like, make that last test on a Friday? Or are they going to – because, based on the rules, it would be every other day going forward. So, is that every other day a Friday or a Saturday? I don't know. It's weird. It's a very strange situation.
Yeah.
The other players that tested – so, this is everybody on the COVID list for the Lions. Justin Coleman, Jalen Elliott, Kenny Galladay, TJ Hockenson, Isaac Nauta, Awarier, Stafford, and then a backup punter, Sipsis. Only two remain off that haven't been reactivated, and that's Jalen Elliott and Awarier. Those are the only two guys that haven't come off the list yet. Everybody else has returned, at least. Thank God, for Hockenson and Galladay to get back in there immediately, especially Hockenson.
I've read the Lions have done more to safeguard against this virus than any other team in the league, from what it looks like. They went overboard and – by everything I've read, they did an amazing job, and the players feel pretty safe there. So I think that's contributing to the Lions not bowing out. You know, play in the season.
Did you see that like 5 or 6 minute video of all the precautions they were taking within the
Wood or whatever with the
Well,
with the hand sanitizer and all the lockers and the glass walls and stuff.
Apparently, all the steps they're taking has kept Duron Harmon from opting out of the season. He has a 1-year-old kid, and they were talking about he was thinking about maybe just opting out so, you know, he doesn't deal with all of it. But he said they talked him into it with all the procedures they're doing to keep him safe.
Yep, exactly. I was going to mention that, so I'm glad you mentioned it. There's only three Lions players that did opt out for the season. Geronimo Allison, wide receiver, I mentioned briefly in this podcast before, a backup center, Russell Bodine, probably wasn't going to make the roster, and then John Atkins, a defensive tackle, also a bubble guy. But no big notable cuts, not like the New England Patriots who have like half their starting defense sitting out for this season, and then four other like backup players. They have 8 total players. There's 3 teams, I think, with none.
Rumor has it Belichick's going for Trevor Lawrence in this.
That wouldn't surprise me.
So mad.
Well, that's another thing. I guess we can talk about really briefly is college football is in a weird state right now where it looks like they're going to play spring football.
RIP Big Ten and Pac-12.
Yeah. It's a very But the Big 12, ACC, and SEC are still going to play. It's a very strange.
SEC is going to hold out for sure. There's no chance they don't play. Even if half their roster dies, they're going to finish the season.
It's weird because the Big Ten still wants to play. And there's going to be a lot of the top players are probably going to opt out in a spring season like that. And then will they push the draft back? I don't know. I would imagine the NFL budgeting on that. They don't seem to adhere to other things. Yeah, they just want their way.
I'll take it over no football.
But yeah, I would.
It's problematic.
It's just weird. There's gonna be like, is there gonna be a national championship or playoffs? I don't know. That's just very strange.
Are they gonna do it without the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and they're just gonna do their own little division season?
Like, I don't know. I have no idea.
Ways it can go.
But what we do know is that Stafford is happy to be in the building, working on football, ready to win a Super Bowl for Lions this year. That's all we know for certain right now. He's ready to go. He said as much. And, you know, for the league at least, it couldn't have happened to a better guy. Their screw up because he's been really professional about it, because a lot of other guys would be pissed. Kind of like Kelly Stafford on her
comments. Yeah. People in the store like harassing her, telling her she shouldn't be out. But even though it was negative at that point, it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a little ridiculous.
Yeah.
So I guess Kelly Stafford displays the emotional side of Stafford to a degree, at least in the public eye. But anyways, let's move on to the actual football. We've talked about coronavirus on here, but they're actually – you know, they're getting into training camp here, and there was some roster cuts made this week because they had to reduce the roster down to 80 players. And with those opt-outs, they had 6 more players to cut. So this is who was cut. Deion Jonathan Wynn, not much there. Christian Sam, linebacker, probably wasn't going to make it either. Joshua Garnett, a guard. The two bigger ones, Chris Lacy, who we've mentioned on this podcast before. He got cut. And then the probably even more surprising one is Travis Fulgham, not even making it to training camp to try to win his roster spot after being drafted last year.
That goes what I was saying before, though. Quinn's not afraid to dump a guy if he's not working on it. And granted, they're fairly loaded at the position, but, I mean, he was drafted from last year, and they said they have something better. So they just got rid of him.
Yeah.
So I give him credit for it. It
doesn't really bother me this early.
I'm telling you, Cephas had something to do with that. I think that he's an upgrade over the likes of
Hall of Famer. You talking about?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy to make that decision when I got a future Hall of Famer like that on your roster.
Yeah, exactly. He stood for a chance.
It's hard to say why. It's just interesting that he didn't make it to like the training camp aspect before this cut was made.
Well, in a normal year, he would have.
In a normal year, yes, he would have.
He obviously just was on that probably bubble to even get to try out again or try another year. So
yeah, and no, there's, you know, obviously no preseason games to make an impact either. So we'll see.
And all these guys probably weren't even training for like a good portion of this too. So like there's a lot of rust going around. That's tough to like look through and see like who's actually good.
I'm curious if it'll make for interesting football. See these guys all start like such a quick jump back in to the action. See what kind of like opportunities are created for teams that, you know, who did a better job of cramming and preparing. So it'll be some interesting dynamics at play.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's one more aspect I wanted to get to on here. This is not going to be a long episode. There's still not a lot going on from at least the outsider's perspective of what's going on this season besides all the opt-outs and things going around with the NFL schedule. There was one more thing I wanted to mention about college football. If everything gets delayed, the NFL is looking at making Friday night games, Saturday night games. They're going to try to take over almost every day of the week if there is no college football.
Friday night game would be weird.
It would be weird.
But I would love it.
Just make a game every day of the week.
They might. They honestly might.
Why not? They don't have much to compete with. I mean, baseball, but football's always going to beat baseball in the ratings.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, after October, if there's no college football, I mean, literally it'll only be NFL for like 2 months. Like, that'd be the only major sport going on.
Yeah, because I think hockey's not going to come back till like December.
Yeah. But
NBA too.
What we wanted to get into last year was training camp battles. And there's just some notable ones I think are worth discussing. And I'm just going to get to them here. The first one, and the most interesting one to me, is who is going to be the starting running back for the Lions at opening day. Kerryon Johnson versus DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
So I guess we can make predictions here, but while we're making our predictions, kind of discuss our thoughts on it. But who do we think is going to be the Lions opening day running back? I'll start with you, Rud Dog. You look like you're mustering an opinion right there.
Yeah, I mean, I could see Swift having the battle by the time he gets there. I think he's a more all-around back than Kerryon Johnson, and his cable has more suddenness in his game that would really, I think, amp up our offense. So, I don't know. It depends on how he picks up pass blocking. If there's certain aspects of his game that don't come along, he probably won't be able to beat out Kerryon. And I still expect great things from Kerryon. So my bet is Kerryon gets the job to start the season, but he's going to be sharing plenty of reps. And if Swift takes it over, then, you know, that's probably the most likely scenario, I would say.
Yeah. How about you, UJ?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think they're going to basically say it's Kerryon's to lose right now, which he, and he probably will lose it because I think DeAndre Swift will eventually become our featured back. But like Rod Dawes said, they're going to be splitting a lot of carries. So I don't think it really matters who starts, but I think just for the sake of egos or whatever, I think Kerryon will get the start initially. And after that, it's just not going to matter. They're going to split a lot of carries. We're going to see both of them a lot. So I'm not worried about it either way. I don't think they are either, to be honest with you.
I would agree, UJ. I think Kerryon starts the season as starter. I my way too far prediction is that Swift takes him over eventually. But I think Johnson's is going to get the start, like Road Dogs applying, like with blocking and getting adjusted like that. And the fact there's only 8 padded practices, I think, the entire offseason, or at least full contact practices. That's such a small amount. It's an incredibly small amount of full go practices. I don't think there's going to be enough time for Swift to be ready to take over the starter role and prove himself.
I think by like week 5. Or week 6 is when we're going to see DeAndre Swift maybe take more than 50% of the reps. But I definitely at first, at least I think very initially it's going to be heavy Kerryon, but then very quickly split by week 2 and 3.
It could depend. It depends on what they see out of him. If they see he's competent of doing what like fits his skill set really well, like which is that suddenness, then they're going to abuse him a significant amount of times because his skill set is stuff you don't really have to learn. if you design some plays to get him out in space and stuff like that, it's just his natural talent, you know, more than most positions. You know, a good running back coming out of college can pick up the game pretty quickly. So,
yeah, what for sure.
Well, you know, I think these guys are competitive. So, what psychologically, I would play start Kerryon because he's going to prove to everyone he's the man. All right.
Oh, yeah.
They'll say all the nicest things about each other and all, but in the end, they're very competitive and they both want to be the starter. So, I think they'll let Kerryon start and give him a chance to keep the job on his own.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He's going to have plenty of incentive, too. It's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
So sticking plus, with, yeah, go Red Dog.
I was just gonna say, plus there's a veteranness there. Like he's been on the team for years. You can't just give the job to a new kid without making him earn it first.
All right, and sticking with this running back group, I wanted to focus on the other battle going on here, and that's the battle for that third running back and fourth running back. So between Bo Scarborough, Ty Johnson, and then Jason Huntley.
Oh man,
do we think all three of these guys make the roster? I would imagine Bo Scarborough.
Scarborough for sure is going to make the roster.
Yeah.
I can see Scarborough I expect him to make the roster, but it depends on how good the new kids look. And I actually expect all of them to make the roster, but I would actually.
Really?
I think they all do.
Yeah, I think all of them are going to. That's just such a talented. Yeah, you give up your somewhere else where you don't have as quality of depth and diversity of skill. There's got to be another place where you got a guy who's not as good as Jason Huntley or something like that.
Don't you think Ty Johnson and Jason Huntley are both battling for that fourth running back? Do you think Lions care about?
No.
I don't know if they're going to take them all.
I feel like they're filling similar roles on the roster right now.
Especially with injury concerns, there's depth other places we're going to need, even if the skill is lower. I don't know if we're going to be firing all the
way. Well, I also think Huntley's going to try to be in the kick return game in some form.
Exactly.
I fully expect him to get shots with that. So that would definitely add to why I think he would be on the roster.
That's an additional comparison to Ty Johnson.
I'm saying you have a good depth. I could see some of them being inactive. But I still expect them to all make the team throughout the season. They'll be on the roster. Because there's too much talent there, and we have too much history of injuries.
I agree. Ty Johnson was looking great at the end of last season. And plus, he's been pulling cars in the offseason. Come on, so you know that.
Yeah.
Can you imagine Ty Johnson pulling a Ford F-150 across Ford Field? Like before the game or something like that, that'd be a great stunt, wouldn't it? Yeah.
I don't know if that's the best warm-up routine, but
you know,
park cars on the 50-yard line before the game and just have
it'd be great.
That'd be funny. Some Fords, like it could be a good little promotional.
Yeah, F-150. That'd be so cool.
That'd be funny as hell.
Zoe, we all think all three make the roster.
I do.
I'm 50-50.
I can see Jason Huntley being on the practice squad and then called up later in the year as well.
I think that's
a possibility.
Are we going to have a fullback? You got to ask that question.
Got to have a fullback.
No, you don't have to. How good did our guy do last year? He didn't do very good. And when they needed one, they put Nada in there to block, like a fullback.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Was it that wore the make fullbacks great again hat?
Yeah.
Was that on the Patriots? I forgot. I thought that was so
great
funny.
Sentiment. Yeah. Our guy did.
Schlesinger wore it?
No.
Oh, yeah. What's his name?
Nick Bodden. Nick Bodden.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. The death of the fullback's been so sad.
Yeah.
But he wasn't.
Nick Bodden did not play supremely well last year.
He had one highlight of the year when he hurdled that guy and then.
Then he
caused a spree of hurdles on the team when the tight ends tried to copy him the next week.
And believe me, I wish we had a fullback that was a stud. I mean, I remember the Schlesinger days. The Corey Schlesinger days were, I mean, wow, that guy was amazing. We had a guy like that again.
The Lions had Jerome Felton on their roster.
Yeah,
we did. And he ended up being pretty good fullback for a long time.
Yeah, for when they actually used him, right?
Yeah, I mean, when he was on the roster, we cut him because we weren't going to use him. So,
I know. And then he blocked for a 2,000-yard season for Adrian Peterson.
Yep. Doesn't seem like a necessity for our offensive scheme, but I just like having one. So I'm going to say we're going to have one.
Could you see – I agree, Connor. I prefer to have one. But could you see them using what's-his-face? Oh, my gosh. The big guy. Our big running back.
Scarborough?
Yeah, could you see him using Scarborough as a blocker sometimes?
No.
Not at all.
Yeah, just a thought.
I always wanted the Lions to use Sue as a fullback on the goal line back when he was on the team. They never did it. I was so pissed.
A great fullback has to have the mentality of a battering ram because that's what he is.
They did let Sue kick a field goal, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's move on to the third training camp battle I have. And this is one of the bigger mysteries, I guess. And that's who's going to be starting at guard for the Lions this year. Joe Dahl, Jonah Jackson. They our fourth-round pick you can throw in there, Logan Stenberg. I don't see him winning that other than UJ's guy, Bench Bagel, as you call him, UJ. But who do we see starting at guard for the Lions here? I would imagine Jackson being a day-one starter. I'd think they take him with that in mind. I would imagine it's his job to lose. And then
right now.
And I would say Dahl still holds it for now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Dahl and Jackson are my prediction. I think Stenberg in the next year or two we could see him turn into something, but unless he's ironed out some serious flaws in his game, he's not gonna be ready.
Yeah, if you watch his tape, he's definitely not NFL ready yet. But he's definitely got the mentality to be ready in a year and the size.
Yeah. He's the kind of guy though that this lock I think really hurt to not have this off season because I think he has some physical gifts that just need to be properly honed and he looks like he could be an absolute stud. But he needs to be training and doing repetitions of what's the right thing.
Yeah.
And he's not getting that now.
How about you, UJ? What do you think, Joe Dahl and Jackson?
Jackson's the guy for right guard. I think Dahl keeps his job for now just because of his experience and everything else. Right tackle will be the new guy from Philly.
Big V.
Big V, yeah. Him and I think it's pretty well set. That's what I think it's going to be. I mean, but
not Benchwall?
Yeah, what the heck?
No, but I do think Benchwall is going to make the team. And I think we're going to have a deeper offensive line than we've had in a long time. A deeper, meaner, tougher line than we've had in a while, depth-wise. I think we'll have guys that will be able to come in and seamlessly, like, take over.
I really like what I've seen of Jonah Jackson on tape. I think he's going to slot in pretty quickly. But I think it's definitely Jackson's to lose.
And then you think Dahl still, Connor?
Yeah, sorry, Evan. Dahl's going to start week one, I think. But I see Jonah Jackson slotting in pretty quickly.
The only thing I can see with Jonah Jackson that, like, gifted. Is that if he doesn't adapt to the bigger, faster environment. Like, his technique was so good in college, but he kind of had to be because he doesn't have that sheer mass the likes of Stenberg has. So, like, he has to hope a good off-season weight training program. I hope he was on one.
I know he's got some run-blocking issues too, so hopefully.
Yeah. So that means, like, I it's very much up in the air, so it'll be fun to see.
I feel like Dahl is more at risk of losing his job. For PFF, Dahl was the third-ranked pass-blocking guard in the NFL through the first 3 weeks of the season. And then after week and then he finished the season 30th. So after week four, it fell off a cliff.
Oh, wow.
Or is at least very inconsistent. So something to keep in mind there as well. There is two more battles I wanted to get to. The fourth one will be interesting as well. So the Lions trade for Daron Harmon. They convince him to stay with their rigorous COVID things, as we talk about their practices or whatever. Anyways, Daron Harmon versus Will Harris is the opposite safety for Tracy Walker. I see, prediction without hearing about anything on the field yet, training camp or anything. I think the Lions trade for Daron Harmon because they want him to start. So my prediction is Ron Harmon wins this starting job, and Will Harris provides good depth.
He's got the Patriots ties, right? So he's probably going to start.
Yeah, well, no, and I just think Will Harris, and if he hasn't made any extreme strides to this point in his, you know, since last year, he was not ready. And this guy's a veteran with proven abilities.
Will Harris, I think he's still a work in progress. So I don't think you're going to see him much in the beginning, but he will get his playing time. Hopefully he'll be much improved. I think Daron Harmon is a great addition to the backfield, the secondary, and I think, I don't know. Beyond that, I think he's going to help us a lot. It's going to be fun. I don't know.
Yeah. Those two will probably end up splitting time more often than not. And I think what they see Will Harris is more of like an in-the-box safety. So if it's the Ravens or something, not that they're playing the Ravens, but a team like that where it's more run-heavy, the Lions probably play Will Harris more over Daron Harmon, and then a pass-heavy team, probably Daron Harmon you see more on the field. That's just my guess based on the skill sets. But, yeah, does anybody else have anything to add to this this battle?
Let's get to the most important battle, Z.
Oh, go for it. I don't know if we have the same one or not, so go for it. Tell me.
Well, we have to, don't we? The battle for punter.
Oh, that was not on my list, actually.
Oh, Jesus. I thought you were saving that for last. You want the Aussie, right?
Yeah.
Waltzing Matilda. Yeah. He's going to kick all those weird Australian kicks, man. He's going to just take the league by storm. It's going to be awesome.
Well, it's between Jack Fox and Aaron Zippos. Is that how you say his name?
Right. Yeah.
Jack Fox has the longer career, but not by long.
Yeah.
It'll be weird without Sam Martin on the roster, though.
Yeah, it seems like he's been around forever.
I know we all had them drafting that punter. What's his face? So I'm really disappointed. Yeah.
Yeah, from A&M.
I don't know why they didn't get him. I thought he would have been a higher priority. But
yeah, I agree with you, Connor. I was hoping they would during the draft when we were watching it.
Yeah.
It never happened.
Most of us predicted it, too, which is –
Hey, but on a weird side note, though, I'm really kind of happy that Sam Martin went to Denver, because I'll bet he's going to just kick the shit out of the ball.
Oh, yeah. Thin air.
It's going to be fun to watch.
His kickoffs will go, like, into the upper decks.
Aaron guy's got more, like, Australian football experience, so I'm guessing Jack Fox is going to win the job just based on his more traditional American football.
Disagree.
Yeah.
They say this guy can punt, kick the ball so many different ways because they grow up playing that Australian rules football, and they learn to do so many weird different things with the ball. And the half of punters now kick with that weird end-over-end kick they do now. Mm-hmm. And the only time they do the spiral kick is when they're, you know, deep in their own zone and they try to, you know, blast one. But most of it, they're doing that point-down, end-over-end, weird kicking. I think this Australian guy, I think it's going to give him an advantage, actually, in this competition.
That's just there's a cool video of him playing Australian football where he makes, like, a ridiculous, like, almost like a bicycle kick sideways, like, from a sharp angle, like, field goal thing. That's the best way I can describe the video of Sipsis.
Plus, he's got to be a lot tougher if he's an Australian rules football guy. He's got to be, like, a tough guy, right? So.
Well, neither of them have ever had an NFL rep, so I guess time will tell.
Yes, that will definitely come.
Yeah.
I just feel like a lot of those foreign guys don't work out the way we think they are based on their highlight tapes.
Yeah, I know what you mean, Connor. Like, sometimes you're like, oh, my God, look what this guy can do. Then he gets to the NFL, like, is out of there in a second.
Hey, listen, I just want the best guy to win. It's just kind of my, like, weird gut feeling, so that's all.
I mean, that'd be cool if you're right. That'd be way more entertaining than Jack Fox. So I'm rooting
for
him. I just think Jack Fox will start.
They'll play the Waltzing Matilda music when he comes out to punt on fourth down, and, you know.
I like your vision.
I like it.
How about marketing?
The Lions can at any time, like, sign a veteran or that gets cut from another team as well. That's always a possibility.
Yeah,
these guys. Punter is probably, you know, there's not a lot of plays to go over, like a wide receiver or something. So,
who do you think Bob Quinn is going to pull out of their rehab this time?
Oh, like Matt Prater?
Yeah, I got it.
Well, do we have any St. Rita punters we can
Yeah, I know. We need, yeah.
Got to be a few out there, right, that aren't in the NFL.
Well, last one didn't work out too well.
True. Oh, well.
All right. Let me get to my last battle that I had down. It wasn't punter, but thank you, UJ, for throwing that in there. Appreciate it.
I know everyone's going to hear about that one.
So the last one I have is for the defensive end position, and that is Julian Aquara and Austin Bryant. Austin Bryant is a guy that we haven't really seen much of at all because of his injury history, but the Lions drafted him in the fourth round, and they've obviously kept him around. They haven't cut him yet or anything like that, so they obviously think he has a lot of promise. We just don't know what that promise looks like yet. But it is definitely an interesting battle between the two.
I don't know if I'd put – are they in direct competition or just for, like edge rushers are you talking about in general? Because I don't see them playing the same position necessarily.
I don't know. We didn't get to see a lot of Austin Bryant last year, so it's going to be tough to gauge that.
Oh, yeah.
And he's – I think he's – oh, man, you're throwing me off my game here.
I mean, they both played the edge rusher position, like, so it's definitely a similar position they're going to both be playing.
Similar, but I see Julian Aquara going for the similar position to what what's-his-face played, the guy we just cut this year. The what?
Collins, the linebacker?
No, the guy we like, Kennard. Similar position to the way Kennard played, where he was like a stand-up edge linebacker rusher, not the other end. I see
I think
Romeo Aquara more in competition for a roster spot than Julian Aquara.
Well, yeah, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
So if anything, and actually I think Romeo and the kid from Clemson who's escapes
my name. Austin Bryant. You're really on top of the names today. Yep. Oh, how always. Much Kool-Aid over there.
No, but I see him and Romeo as more of a direct competition because of their similar builds. In the position they'd play, I expect Julian Aquara to be more of a edge outside, like linebacker.
Well, so, I would imagine Jerod Davis maybe taking that. At least based on how much weight he's been gaining, it seems like he's gearing up for a more of a pass rusher type role.
Oh, hell yeah! But he might be able to do that more from the inside too. I mean, they use him all over the place, so I don't know. I could see different scenarios playing out here.
Yeah, I just don't want to see Davis out there in coverage too much more.
No.
I don't think anyone wants to see that.
I mean, unless he showed some, you know, incredible improvements over the offseason, I agree.
But, Z, directly to your question, I think Julian Aquara will play over Austin Bryant. I mean,
yeah.
I agree with that, too.
Question, yeah, I would agree with that. I'm just curious what they can get out of Austin Bryant at this point.
I am too. But even if he turns out to be a really good rotational player, I mean, that's
good. Yeah, that's what I'm seeing him as, like more of that rotation, like specialist guy. Aquara is going to get more of the reps.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Austin Bryant only played 133 snaps last year.
What was his injury? I remember he got
it. It was, I think, the pectoral, I believe.
Yeah.
And it's shoulder or the pec, but something like that. It was an injury the Lions were aware about when they drafted him, and then he re-injured it almost immediately. And then, so
I have a bad feeling he's going to be one of those guys that just never stays healthy enough for a real NFL shot.
Yeah, I think that's part of the reason why he fell to the Lions in the first place in that draft because of his injuries.
Yeah, he played through it, I think, in that championship year with Clemson.
Yeah. But I think that is all I have on the training camp battles for now. I mean, there's more that we can discuss, but we'll be talking about it more in the upcoming weeks as the NFL is really starting to gear up here. Football, less than a month away, which is hard to believe. It'll sneak up on us really fast. This whole year's going by fast. It's already mid-August, but we'll be ready for the Lions Super Bowl run in 2020 and 2021. But unless you guys have anything else to say, UJ, your eyes are going to need a break after this.
Yeah.
Lots of Kool-Aid from the crew today.
Yeah.
Kool-Aid's going down nice and smooth today.
UJ, I think one of your eyes already went lazy after that. It's just kind of drifting off to the –
Yeah,
All right. So that's going to wrap it up for us here. Twitter at Drinking Lions, Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid. We really appreciate everybody for listening. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. We'd really appreciate it. But from Connor, Rud Dog, UJ, and I'm Big Z, thank you everybody for listening. And last but not least, as always, go! Go!
Field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain.